Well, are we on the verge of World War III, or is that hyperbole? Let's ask Colonel Douglas McGregor, who's been tracking and watching what has been unfolding in the Middle East, of course, in the wake of this leaked documents scandal. And is Israel about to attack Iran? What does it mean for the 57,000 American soldiers who are in the Middle East right now, and all of this happening right before Election Day? Colonel, good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you as well.
So when I say, you know, we're on the precipice of World War III, I mean, are we being hyperbolic here, or are we already there? And what do you think that this means ahead of the election?
Well, we're not there, but I don't think you're being hyperbolic. We have to consider the following points. If you look at the current state of affairs on the ground in the Middle East, the Israelis are following the Greater Israel Plan, which has been on the shelf for many, many years. This Greater Israel Plan incorporates at least half of Lebanon, part of Syria, part of Jordan, and of course is denuded completely of Palestinian Arabs. So that's underway. And I think, though it has not been formally announced, that both London and Washington understand this and are supporting it. Now, what does this mean? This means that at this point in time, the Israelis have done about as much as they can do in Lebanon and Gaza. Now, they can continue to bomb and destroy infrastructure. And people are upset over hospitals and schools and other things being destroyed. This is part of the plan. It's to destroy all of the infrastructure, making it impossible for anybody to live there, forcing the millions that live in these places to leave, to go somewhere else, or die one way or the other. And this is what we in London are strongly supporting. However, the Israelis are not winning, per se, on the battlefield. In other words, they're taking losses in southern Lebanon that are quite heavy. They continue to take losses down in Gaza whenever they go in on the ground. They realize that they cannot continue on this path without some sort of dramatic victory elsewhere. And the elsewhere, frankly, is Iran. They've got to attack Iran. Netanyahu knows that. He has no choice. The question is one of timing. And this is what people need to understand. It is in his interest, Netanyahu's, and Israel's interest to start this war with Iran before the election. Now, they currently have done everything in their power. That is Mr. Netanyahu and his agents in the United States pouring vast sums of money into the Trump campaign to ensure that Trump is elected, because Trump has made it abundantly clear that he will support unconditionally whatever the Israelis want to do, that he backs them. But they can't be entirely sure that once he's elected, he will follow through completely as they would like. At the same time, they have no guarantee and no certainty whatsoever that Kamala Harris will do anything that they want her to do. In fact,
so that's why you start it now? That's why you start this war right now?
What?
So that's why they start this war right now?
Yeah, it's got to happen this weekend or next weekend, sometime before the election, get it underway. Then whoever ultimately wins, even though they're banking heavily on President Trump, they know that they've inherited a war that they just can't walk away from. Now, how does the war, from their standpoint, really get off the ground? They've got to launch crippling strikes against Iran. They're going to do as much damage as they can. Whether or not they'll attack the nuclear facility is open to question. The probability of their attacking the oil facility, I think, is very high. Again, that's another lucrative target. There are many other things to hit, but those are the two most significant from the Israeli standpoint. If they do either or both, the Iranians will respond ultimately with all that they've got, and they've got quite a bit. And as we've already seen, the air missile defenses don't really work all that well. Any of these could be overwhelmed. These two THAAD batteries, terminal high altitude air defense or area defense missiles and radars are not going to measurably change much, because you are inevitably firing two missiles, sometimes even three, to hit incoming missiles. So you can exhaust whatever is in your magazine quickly. The Iranians, on the other hand, I'm being told, have the capacity to fire 400 missiles and rockets an hour for days.
Wow.
So you're talking about a very different set of circumstances with Iran. But that's fine with Mr. Netanyahu, because as soon as Israel comes under attack, the plan is for the U.S. air power and missile power to attack Iran. Now, we've got nearly 1,000 fighter jets that are loaded, ready for bear. They'll go in and attack. We've got large numbers of standoff munitions that can be launched from aircraft far away from air defenses, because obviously there is a certain amount of a respect for the S-400 and what it could potentially do. But we're going to see whether or not Iran can defend itself effectively when the air defenses are tested by the Israelis. And it'll be very interesting to see, because we just don't know. We've never done it. Now, once this war begins and you get the U.S. naval air and missile forces engaged, and the U.S. Air Force with the bombers that are down on Diego Garcia, all of this will be thrown at Iran. What will Russia do? And Russia has made it pretty clear that they are not going to allow Iran to be destroyed. And now, as recently as within the last 24 hours, Putin made an offer to Netanyahu with no expectation, obviously, that it would be accepted, but an offer to effectively sit down, negotiate, and try to sort this problem out. Netanyahu and Israel have no incentive to sort anything out. From now on, it's their way or the highway. There is no interim. There is no room for a discussion of a solution that does not involve the wholesale removal of all the Arabs from Israel. And as I said, we seem to have signed on for the Greater Israel Project, we and the British. In other words, we're happy to change the order completely in the Middle East. Now, Russia has no incentive to go along with that. By the way, the Turks have no incentive to go along with that. Iran has no incentive to go along with that. Neither do the various Arab regimes. The Arab states are weak. They're not strongly led. But right now, we are seeing a lot of evidence that, for instance, the Saudis are putting a lot of money into Egyptian banks. We're going to see a lot of that happen with Qatar and the other Arab Emirates putting money in Jordanian banks. This is to stiffen the spine of those countries and remind them that they're Muslims and that they need to get on board with the larger war that's beginning. And I think that's where it's headed right now, a very major war. And the issue for us, frankly, is how long could we fight in support of Israel without Israel being destroyed in the interim, regardless of what we do? And I don't think we've got the missile power, the arsenals, the munitions, to stand up and fight for more than a week or two.
That's deeply troubling. I mean, Americans should let that sink in, what you're saying here, is that basically the United States government is supporting the ethnic cleansing of Gaza, the destruction of Gaza, in order to expand the size and scope of land package for Israel, expanding into other areas, not just Gaza, of course. But then we have 57,000 troops sitting there. Many of these bases can really only handle small arms fire, drone attacks. But right. When you get Iranian missiles, ballistic missiles, targeting these American bases, if we throw ourselves into this, these 57,000 Americans, and maybe more thousands over the coming days, will be joining this. They're all sitting ducks. I mean, it's what we've been saying here on the show, and Americans need to wake up and pay attention to what's happening here. Again, am I being hyperbolic?
No, absolutely not. And they will undoubtedly take casualties. And of course, that's music to Mr. Netanyahu's ears. The more Americans who are injured or killed, the more likely he's convinced that the United States and the population will cast its lot with Israel 100%. Now, I'm not sure he's right. I think there are a lot of Americans that have serious misgivings about widening this war. There are many Americans that don't think the war should be going on at this point and are wondering why nothing has been done. The other aspect that nobody bothers to point out that will get a lot of attention when it happens, and that is you've got a financial crisis waiting to explode onto the world scene. There's right. A lot of information right now suggesting that Bank of America may go under. You stop and think about that. That's an enormous institution, and it has lots of unrealized losses. And we just don't know, but it looks bad. And how much can we do to prop that up? And what does that mean for other financial institutions? So this is in the background. Once this begins, this could effectively unravel the so-called world order that we keep insisting has to be maintained at all costs. So whoever becomes president, and at this point, it probably doesn't matter once this war gets off the ground by Mr. Netanyahu, whoever inherits this mess is going to have to make some decisions, because the longer they wait to make hard decisions, the worse this will get. And that means how long do we participate in this fiasco? And we'll have lots of people say, well, we can't stop. I remember everybody saying during the Vietnam period from 68 onward, well, we can't just leave. And of course, that's exactly what we did. And the question this time around will be after a couple of weeks, how can we go on? You know, look what's happening in our country. Our country is not exactly the picture of social cohesion right now. And this, of course, presupposes that the majority of Americans regard whatever happens on 5 November as legitimate. I mean, obviously, the expectation, and I think under normal circumstances, President Trump would win. Will he win, though? I don't know. But let's assume he does. Now he said he's going to back the Israelis to the hilt. How long does he do this before the financial system takes a bite out of his administration? I mean, it's a very dangerous time. I don't think we can be hyperbolic right now if we're Americans looking at this from our standpoint.
Yeah, I see some comments occasionally, you know, in our show. It's like, oh, this fear about World War III. It's just fear-mongering. I mean, look at what's happening. And we should be fearful right now. Yes, maybe we should all be fear-mongering because you see what's about to happen right now? It's a disaster waiting to happen for the United States.
Well, and remember something else, and I think you and I have talked about this before. We have a small number of people inside the Beltway that have hijacked the government. When I say a small number of people, what are we talking about? 50 to 100 political figures with huge billionaire backing who've been making the decisions and driving policy. You know, we're not in control. We've not been consulted. Right. And the people inside the Beltway don't care. And the other problem is most Americans are sitting there, even though you are raising the alarm and others. I mean, I listen to this too. And Americans sit there and say, well, you know, war is something that happens on someone else's soil. It's not a problem for us. It's going to be a hell of a problem for us. And remember that we're no longer clubbing baby seals. When someone asks me, what do you think war is like in Iraq or Afghanistan? It's clubbing baby seals. What's the baby seal going to do? The baby seal has no air defense. The baby seal has no army, no air force, nothing. So sure, you can club baby seals. Well, you're no longer clubbing baby seals. Iran is a major power. No, it has not invested in huge armies for the purpose of conquering anything because it doesn't do that, doesn't want to do that. But it's invested heavily in this missile arsenal. And we know they're in the threshold stage regarding, you know, nuclear warheads. Burns, the CIA director, has said they have not built a nuclear war yet. I think he's probably right. But what's the incentive to do nothing now? What happens if the Israelis decide to use a tactical nuclear weapon against the so-called Iranian nuclear facility, which has to be penetrated, has to go through hundreds of feet of ground to get to it? Well, then that proverbial genie is out of the bottle. If the Israelis use a nuclear weapon, her opponents are going to show up with nuclear weapons, and that would be catastrophic.
Yeah, we should all wake up and pay attention. Colonel, great to see you. I want to encourage our audience to go over to your website, which is Our Country, Our Choice. Learn about Operation Focus, taking our country back, stopping these maddening wars, and focusing on the United States of America. Colonel, great to see you. Thank you for your insights on this.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
I want to introduce you to a company called Bunker, an app built by American patriots with over 30 years in information security. Bunker is designed to protect you and your family from cyber threats, including criminals, big tech, and government surveillance. With Bunker, you get secure messaging free from surveillance. Only trusted contacts can reach you. Unlike other messaging apps filled with criminals and imposters and spam and all sorts of stuff. I get text messages all the time. I'm like, who are you? Where is this stuff coming from? How did I get on some list that I'm now getting like weird spam messages? Bunker connects you with your trusted contacts only. Secure file storage. You can store crucial documents like mortgages, family photos securely with the option to scan physical documents directly into the app. And they help prevent identity theft, financial loss, and more. It even works without Wi-Fi or without your cell, no cell data. It's okay. It still works because the app is inclusive. It works. You can download Bunker now right from the App Store, the Play Store, or just visit their website at bunker.life, right? BUNKR.life. That's right. Download it today. And guess what? You're going to get, if you use the code redacted, you'll get your whole first year for free. Try it for a year. See how much you like it. Use the code redacted, download it, and you get a whole year for free by using the code redacted.